like this tradition that we started in the last show with the whole best thing thing. And actually, you know, in the past week, when I was biking to work, I saw a thing and immediately thought, like, that's going to be my best thing. On my commute, I saw this group of older people. They had to be, like, at least in their 60s, probably in their 70s and 80s. Some of them were in wheelchairs. And they just had, like, rainbow flags and peace signs, and they were just on a corner, and they weren't saying anything. They were just, like, flashing the peace sign at everybody going by, like, waving. And, and you know, whether or not it had to do with current events or not, I mean, it didn't really matter because they were just nice to everyone, and it was the cutest thing in the world.
It was just a good vibe.
It was good vibes.
Nice.
Love it.
Good vibes are often, like, the best things. My best thing was something I ate. I was on vacation, and this is the one in which I get accused of being a basic bitch, but I ate my first cronut, and it was not quite a cronut. I was on vacation in Canada, and I stopped at this bakery, and it was, you know, a donut shape made out of croissant, so it was like, you know, kind of airy and crispy on the outside. It had granulated sugar and then icing on the top, so it was just like a sugared donut. But it was cut in half, and the middle was filled with, like, barely sweetened, pretty tart cream cheese frosting. I'm just going off the rails here, but it was, like, not too sweet. It was well-balanced. It was, like, a great texture. And I was on vacation with my friend, and we each got one, and we simultaneously bit into it, and it was just dead silence for a solid minute. And I literally have never been rendered speechless by food before, but it was that good. And she then said, like, I'm about to start crying as a result of this. They called it a doissant, which I thought was very, very Canadian of them. And when I said that word to the cashier, she looked at me as though I was having a stroke. I was like, I think I'm saying this word correctly. I don't know. It's just croissant with a D instead. And yet she was very confused by me. But it was so worth it. That was my best thing.
My best thing was Flying Lotus's album came out today, which been very excited about. It's called You're Dead. I have yet to listen to it because I was at work until right now. But the second I leave here, that's my thing to do.
You're trapped in this podcast until...
I know.
Bummer.
I'm excited to be here until the moment that I leave.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the podcast... I suppose we should get cracking. So what's on the agenda, Tess?
It's been on my mind lately that all PR and marketing these days, or at least it seems to me, is just all paid for. It's all like mass production marketing, and I kind of want to talk about that today.
Sure. Interesting. Shelby?
I think that we've got names on the brain. I know that Tess just dealt with a naming fiasco thing. Mm-hmm. And I know that I have to name a show in the next couple weeks. So I guess bad names, good names, popular names, baby names.
Names. That's a good idea, Shelby. I'm Tess Weinberg.
I'm Shelby Thomason.
And I'm Alex Goddard. Sounds like we've got a full slate, so let's pop till we drop.
I had this revelation the other day when I was at a party where, you know, now that I'm past just my early 20s, I mean, I guess I am still in my early 20s, but I've had a job for over a year now, and the parties that I go to have people with real jobs that they go to on a daily basis. And, you know, you make the rounds and you talk to people at the party, and it seems like everybody is in PR. Like, every person you talk to is either in PR, they're in marketing, they're in social media. I mean, because we're all... in our 20s, into our 30s, and it just, truly, just everyone at the party worked in that sector of business, which I thought was weird, kind of? I mean, maybe it's not.
I mean, all three of us, it should be noted, do work in PR, marketing, engagement. So here we get to be experts, I suppose.
It's funny, though, because it's like, if everyone's in PR, then no one is. You know, it's like if everybody is a player in this game, then it's like no one can rise to the top. And for me, that's been, you know, kind of the frustrations within the industry, or like the practice of PR, is that really the people who thrive are the same people who have always thrived, because so much of it is just paid for now. It's like it's a pay-to-play game at this point.
What do you mean by pay-to-play then?
Well, for example, I had a meeting this morning and I was talking to like an external marketing consultant, and essentially she knows some famous people and was like, oh, well, we should get your product in front of these famous people. I was like, yeah, great. Let's do that. Like, can we do that? She's like, oh, well, like that costs a lot of money, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not unless you have, you know, the resources to market yourself, which is essentially not just sending a press release anymore. It's paying to have these products in front of people. Mm-hmm. You're not in the game.
Sure. Okay. Yes. Switching the model from kind of like advertising to the consumer to influencer targeting.
Exactly.
Where it's, you know, and I mean, that's totally a descendant of like the social media generation is like, because there are people who can reach 8 million Twitter followers or whatever, why target anyone else if you're gonna, you know, and maybe on balance, I guess maybe it does make more sense. Like if you wanted to pay someone $2 million to talk about your product and that person you knew was going to reach however many people, maybe that would be a little smarter than I'm just going to spend a ton of money on advertising on like TV and hope that it catches with someone.
And it's less time consuming.
And the people who work at said agencies get to like go meet superstars or whatever, I suppose. But it's, I mean, I don't know. It seems like one of those things where I work at an advertising or PR marketing agency that is a non-traditional place, but comes from a very long line of like press releases, media relations, contacting journalists and trying to get stories placed. And I feel like anyone in our generation can do that now, because whether it's a result of like having to have applied for so many jobs over the course of your career or being experienced in social media or something, everybody's good at selling something to some extent. So like the baseline skill, and this is something I realized, I was updating my LinkedIn recently. I was like, everyone can do this. It was like, anyone can write an email to a journalist. Anyone can Google that person and find who they are. You'd like, there's no, the specializations are now so widely spread and like niched that, you know, everyone can be in marketing.
But so what sets people apart, you know, if anyone can do public relations, anyone can do marketing. Like if that's what's happening, what sets the people apart who are truly successful at it is their interpersonal relationships with those journalists, with the producers. So it's like, that's really what you're buying if you hire a PR professional.
So, like, PR buying. Professionals are kind of now like wedding planners, and that doesn't make any sense, I know, right now, but you hire a wedding planner for who they know. Like, wedding planners get you discounts. Wedding planners know the right people to go to for the right things that you want. So you just say, this is what I want, and they just make it happen because of who they know. It's not really, anybody can plan a wedding. I mean, it's hard, but anybody can do it. I mean, you plan events because you plan your life. I mean, it's just like planning a life. Whereas, so now PR is kind of that same thing, where it's no longer really a skill that you have to hone, because everybody just has it.
Yeah. And it's one of, you can see it happen in the like, the model of like people our age. I have a friend who decided he wanted to start, he's had this idea for a couple of years, he's wanted to start his own marketing firm. I don't know if he's quite ready to call it an agency, but he wants to be like a marketer himself, and you know, people would hire him instead of him getting a job at an agency, that kind of thing. And so he has to give, you know, the economics of it are so brutal, because it's like, I will work 30 hours on, you know, a bunch of press releases and a bunch of outreach and really like slave and try and get you to do things. And for him, it's like, you might pay me $750 or something. And whereas an agency would charge like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for 30 hours of work. So it just has created this like underclass of people who are willing to like, I'll do a social media campaign for you for $100. Like, I'll, you know,
but the other thing is that no results are guaranteed. So it's like, so a company dishes out $750 or $5,000 to get a press release in front of people who may or may not see it ever. It may not ever get in front of them, or it may not ever get picked up. And so it's kind of this like vague gray area of disappointment.
It's one of those industries where you pay someone else to do something you don't want to do. Very simple. When I worked at a local music venue, I realized that like the broader entertainment industry is like artists paying people to do things that they don't want to, whether that's booking a show or managing a tour or being an accountant or being a lawyer. Like, there's this whole, there's like the creative class, which you could classify as like the person who's hiring the marketer. Mm-hmm. And then the marketers are just the people who are willing to like, sure, I will sit in Microsoft Outlook for 45 hours this week, and that will be the extent of my life, you know? I don't know why millennials have been drawn to it so much when there are so many other things that you could... I mean, you know, people could be, like, creative writing more.
I think I know why millennials are so drawn to it.
Why is that?
Because, at least for me, it was something that I could get into in college without picking a destination, you know?
Sure.
I didn't know if I wanted to be in the music industry or, you know, do some nonprofit work or be in the arts. You know, like, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, if you can do PR marketing, you can pick your industry later. You can
sure.
figure it out. It kind of gives you a few different options. And that's kind of what millennials are told to do. It's like, well, you don't know and you won't know. And so you should just kind of be good at all of these kind of skills. And that's exactly what PR marketing is.
That's very astute.
Yeah. And I mean, it's easy to learn because you already know how to do it.
Right.
So any other skill that you pick up is just kind of like extra stuff, and just so it's an easy job to get, and that is not necessarily true because jobs are really hard to get. But I mean, that's just the obvious choice.
And we're all taught to be social butterflies. You know, we've been taught that being interpersonal is a negative thing within our careers. And, you know, you really should be networking and you should meet all these people. And like I was saying, that's kind of what sets apart the PR and marketing professionals. If you're really good at your job, you know a ton of people and you can handle that social lifestyle, where not all millennials can. You know, I mean, I think I'm like a fairly social person, but there's times when I want to sit at home by myself for extended periods of time. And we're not supposed to want to do that.
Yeah. I'm sure people never said the word unplug in reference to like a vacation or like a long weekend or, you know, a night off or anything in previous generations. On a technological basis, because they're, you know, pre-cell phones, it was a lot easier to unplug. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I mean, I just went on vacation and it was really, really enjoyable. And I didn't used to have to feel that way about vacation just as a result of being so like connected, you know. It used to be that vacation was kind of like a nice complement to day-to-day life. I think the rise of marketing as kind of like the millennial trap has created a media literate sort of like critical theory savvy generation of people who can kind of see through a lot of, you know, a lot of really standard practices in, you know, pop culture, mass culture, music, TV, movies, anything that is increasingly common, and pretty much the way of the world now, which is like product placement, you know, sponsorship campaigns,
cross promotions,
you know, influencer spokespeople. You know that when Beyonce is talking about Pepsi, she's not talking about it because she loves Pepsi. It's because there's a huge amount of money behind it. And even when it's something like you hear, okay, so I just last night saw an ad on YouTube for Jimmy Choo shoes with the dude from Jon Snow from Game of Thrones and then a War on Drugs song in it. And it was like, I heard the War on Drugs song and I was like, what's going on here? And then I realized it was the dude from Game of Thrones. And then I was like, what am I, like, someone must have had a ton of money to burn. And I hope that, like, you know, I like the War on Drugs. I hope they got a lot of money out of the deal. But it's like this whole media edifice is now just like you were saying, paid, you know?
It's so paid. What I think is funny about the ad you just said is that the people who are listening to War on Drugs are not the people buying Jimmy Choo shoes.
No.
So what were the...
And it was a very like high fashion advertisement too. Right. It was like a very traditional kind of like fashion ad.
Right. Well, now the people who are going to buy Jimmy Choo shoes are going to feel cool because, you know, they'll hear the song. And, you know, wealthy people like to feel cool.
That's true.
They want to feel cool too, you guys.
Yeah. Maybe that's like a mid-30s thing. Is like you have enough money to spend on really disposable things and you still want to feel cool. So all these ads are a really good learning, you know, source of new music and what have you.
Maybe the marketers feel like they're doing people favors. Like, let us help you.
Sure.
Let us make you cultured.
Well, and you hear, like, when a band goes on tour with a beer sponsor or some kind of, you know, like, Scion Presents, that kind of thing. And sadly, for many bands specifically, it's like you can't afford to go on tour unless you have a quick $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 in the bank account to start it in order to be able to afford the expenses of touring. So, I mean, it's you wouldn't be able to see that band in your town if they didn't have some kind of lift from some paid source. But it also, you feel a little creepy when it's like Budweiser Presents on your ticket or something like that. You feel a little used.
Mm-hmm. I think that's okay if Budweiser's sponsoring shows and there's free Budweiser, then that's okay.
Sure. The free. I was at a work event recently that was a free beer music showcase thing, and it was
your
fun.
Work events are insane.
Can I come here to you?
I'll let you know.
Like,
I'll send you
puddle,
the RSVP.
Like puddle pubs or what was like a bus
party bus
party bus,
bus.
Yeah. Office
yeah.
party.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're pretty wild, I guess. I mean, I worked in a rock club before that, so no offense to my coworkers, but everything
seems mundane.
Free beer, yeah, free beer at a rock show is like, I've been doing that for years, man. Come on.
Over the past few months, I've been in a debacle with my band. We had a name, then I joined the group and decided I didn't
Ooh.
Like the name. They invited me in and I came in and had opinions, which is, you know, like every band's nightmare. So we've been trying to come up with a new band name, and it has seriously led to some slight animosity within the group.
Is it lasting animosity or has it blown over?
It is now subsided now that we have come to a band name. But it came down to the point where we couldn't decide. And I was telling my mom, I was like, Mom, we can't decide. And she's like, you know what you got to do? You can each come to the table with three names and then you do a point system and that's how you decide. And that's how we decided because we really couldn't come to a decision.
You know, I've been in a situation where we hired somebody, like a company hired a new employee using the point system.
Oh, really?
I'm not going to say what company because we would all be not surprised and a little bit saddened.
Sure. Okay.
So,
interesting.
I mean, the point system worked, but the fact of the matter is, does the name matter that much? Does it matter?
Well, before you say the name, you came in months ago and you were I remember you talking about this, not on the podcast itself, but you know, when out in the parking lot or something, and you mentioned like a couple and you said, I like this one, but you know, a couple other people like this one. What were those?
So,
yeah. What are some of the rejects? set the stage for
There was many rejects.
What were the three that people came with? And then we'll guess which one it was, and then you'll tell us.
Oh, this is fun, if I can remember all of them. Okay. The Knots, like the K-N-O-T-S. Dead Knots, same K-N-O-T-S. Holly Sinner. The Black Sails.
And was that the with two E's?
With two E's.
Yes.
That's why I said it that way.
I love
nice.
Them. Yeah. I'm keeping that.
It was either like Sound Waves or Dream Waves. I'm having a hard time remembering here, you guys.
Some
Murder Shoes.
I kind of hope it's not that one.
Was there one about men?
There was. So it was before it was called Man.
Right, Man. Okay, yeah.
So
that's what I remember, Man.
Yeah, that's what it was called. And I really liked that. Other people didn't, so we had to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the point system. We numbered all of them, and we now have a band name.
Okay.
Do you guys want to try to guess?
So
one of those was the band
is,
name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm guessing the Knots or the Black Sails, which I think I think you're on that boat as well.
I love the Black Sails.
I get it, guys. Did you hear what I did? You're on that boat.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Very good.
That's very good. From Facebook, I think I know what it is. Mm-hmm. Sorry, just
Alex
a confession.
Cheated.
This is just a confession that I'm not paying attention as much as I should when you invite me to these things on Facebook. I'm sorry.
Oh,
See? Like I'm a bad person, but I think I know what it is.
No. Yeah, me too.
Okay.
So.
No, go ahead.
It's my band is called Murder Shoes.
Yes.
And I like it. I have a hard time. I either want to say it Murder Shoes or Murder Shoes. Like I can't just like I have to say it in a weird voice. And I like it because it kind of doesn't go with our genre of music. Like we're kind of like an indie dream pop band, and it sounds like an epic metal band, which I think is kind of funny. Like the juxtaposition to me is nice. But then I was kind of thinking about it. I'm like, it doesn't matter because I looked up some of the best and the worst band names. There's like this ongoing vote and I have them pulled up. And there's some band names that I'm like, wow, this is actually pretty bad. Like it's on this list. Arctic Monkeys is one of the worst band names ever. And I love the Arctic Monkeys. I love Alex Turner. I would never think like that's a stupid band name. But when you really think about it, that's probably like a pretty bad band name.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't...
Just nonsensical.
It's just nonsense, kind of like Murder Shoes. So I wonder, you know, does it matter? Does it matter?
I think if you're paying attention to a band name, a bad... Or like if you were paying attention to that, a good or bad band name could influence you in one direction or another whether you would like the music or not.
Do you think so?
I
feel like it's the opposite. I think the music... does all the telling and the band name can...
Well, I think the band name can taint it because if you're not good enough to be popular, like when I heard about the Arctic Monkeys, they were already a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So their name didn't really matter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whereas like when you're trying to sell a band and you tell your band name to the venue that you're going to play at, mm-hmm. like they will listen to or not listen to your CD based on that name or your face. Like if you went and you pitched it to them, you know what I mean? Like
your first impression.
They're always going to hear the name. Yeah, the name before the music.
But so Arctic Monkeys is arguably a stupid name, but they get past that point probably because the music is so good.
Right, right,
so
right.
I think like in my hopes is that in the world, the actual art, the music, the painting, whatever it is can overcome that first impression.
Well, I think that's like always the hope, right? But the name can help or hurt that.
Yeah. And so? I think people, I mean, everyone's aggravated by different things. You know, people have like least favorite words, you know, like if they're a band that had the word moist in the title, I would really hate it, you know? But like bands that are aggravatingly named can really turn like the band Fun. You know, fun, period.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really.
Isn't it like two N's, right?
No, just normal fun, but then period. And that always, and it's lowercase too, I think. It just aggravates me to no end, just on the basis of like their punctuational choices, you know. There's that band Magic with an exclamation point right now.
What about the...
Which all caps, right?
Is it
Magic?
Yeah.
Do you pronounce that band? Is it Chick Chick Chick? The
yes.
exclamation
oh, yeah,
point?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That one to me is so dumb. On here, there's... ... And you will know us by the Trail of Dead, which is probably my all-time least favorite band name.
You're not
a
Trail of Dead
ever.
Fan. Okay.
Well, I don't mind the music, but the band name, I wouldn't listen to them because of the band name. So
I'd be annoyed.
There
I think
we
it's
go.
The,
I'd be annoyed.
And in like Godspeed You Black Emperor, there's that weird, I don't mind the band name, but there's that weird exclamation point. It's like Godspeed You Black Emperor, right?
Yeah, it's like it's on the wrong... Yeah. See, but there's some on this list.
But the music
that
is so good. Okay, yeah, you're right. The music is so good.
The music's so good that you don't.
Yeah.
Right. It does help or hurt.
Yeah, but it's all subjective anyway. You know, like
some people would love that weird exclamation point. They'd be like, "Ooh, I dig on that."
That's different.
Oh, wow!
I like that.
Wow, you gave that person a voice.
Yeah. Oh, that's Alex. A very specific. Character.
Yeah, you are.
What about 303? The O exclamation point after the
H. Punctuation
one's
is
so
tough.
Bad.
Yeah, I think we all hate that one.
Yeah.
I think
well
the
music
is,
doesn't doesn't really back that one up at all.
We're all huge Vans Warped Tour fans.
It says that NSYNC is one of the worst band names ever. I guess
like
I
like Star
about that
all
one.
Caps.
Yeah,
whatever.
I guess I hadn't thought about that either, but you know that they're kind of right. Like if that wasn't iconic, it would suck.
It didn't A-Teens have a star?
Yes,
A-Star Teens.
I love the A-Teens.
Yeah, there's some, I don't know. It's one of those things that you hear like, I mean, maybe, and maybe this is just a pop culture trope, but like, I've been in bands. I know people who are in bands, and it's like the amount of time you have to spend on this one thing that might be one word. It might be two words. It might be like 17, but mm-hmm. like, you often can find yourself spending more time on that than you do on like, let's write a song.
That was the issue. It was like we were getting so mad at each other, or just not like verbally aggressively mad, but just like right. this animosity towards each other, because we were like, oh, well, let's book a show. Well, we don't know what we're called. So, I mean, we can't book a show.
you were being held back.
This stifling thing. And so sure. we came to the point decision last week. And since then, we have moved on, and it feels really good. Mm. And so it's like, not everyone's behind the name. I'm kind of, you know, whatever. But now that that decision has happened,
mm-hmm. other things can happen.
Yeah.
So I think it's a positive thing.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's probably a normal development for a lot of creative people. You know, what do you title a movie?
What do you title an art show?
Well, I'm in that. Yeah, I'm in that problem right now. And so it was really interesting to hear myself say, no, a name really matters. It can help or it can hurt.
Right?
Because I have to title a visual art show, which will be, you know, it'll be the title, you know, colon or no colon, The Volunteer Biennial, because it's a show made of works by volunteers who volunteered in our gallery. And so, you know, curating the show has been the most fun so far, and definitely very challenging. But naming the show has proved to be even harder and terrible, and I'm very scared because this conversation has made me truly believe that my naming of this show will make it awful. Or I don't know why you're laughing.
Sorry.
Because this is incredibly serious. No. But like, the people who will go to this show will go to this show no matter what it's called. Mm-hmm. But there is a whole other group of people that will come to this show if the name is good, mm-hmm. because it's enticing, and they otherwise have no reason to go to the gallery and look at these works. I mean, there have been so many times where like, I've seen a name of an exhibit and I've thought, that sounds cool, or that sounds lame.
But do you think that since it all is so subjective that it just kind of evens out? You know, there'll be people who like, that's lame, but then there'll be the exact same other half of people that'll be like, that's great.
Well, I think that that's the thing that I'm thinking about now, because like, there are two names, types of names that exist for this show. I have a co-curator, and he's come mm-hmm. up with several different names, and you know, they kind of fall into two camps. And so I struggle with, you know, am I going to try to invite people who are my age and who are trendy and who are kind of in the up and coming, like, this is what names are supposed to be like now, mm-hmm. or am I inviting people who are like into art? So there are a couple names, like one is like Momentary Distance, or like Infinite I forgot the other part of it. And then there's another name, We Are Even Nice, and it's just in all caps. And so, like, I imagine it just in all caps, like, all on different lines. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Without vowels? Just kidding.
Oh, sorry. Man. I didn't even think about it. Oh, that'd be really hard because of E.
I know.
It'd
be like, W-R-D-A-N-T.
Oh, wow. That's even higher trend.
Yeah. So true.
But, like, depending on what I name the show, I'm inviting different people to that show. I'm inviting completely different people.
Sure. It's harder with artistic names, too, because, like, and this is coming from someone who has, like, journalism background, but it's sort of the same way with, like, it used to be with newspaper headlines. Like, you would literally have to write an interesting, catchy, like, kind of controversial headline because you were competing with so much space. And now you can literally title an article, like, 17 cute pictures of puppies that will make you smile in an effort to get people to click on it.
Right.
But you can't do that at an art show.
No.
Oh my God, that would be funny though if
it
you were
be.
Like 207 artworks guaranteed to make you
by the
you
best
know. Guaranteed to
in
make you think.
Oh God. And if it had like a digital focus, that would be a pretty catty
yeah,
way to do
be,
it.
You should just
be
call
really
it the
funny.
Best.
Oh, that's good too.
The best.
You, comma, here.
dot dot dot.
See,
like your life here.
Yeah.
Colon, the Volunteer Biennial.
Oh God, the punctuation, Alex.
See, it's important. you here and you comma here are two different things.
That's my
But I'm
you
gonna,
here.
I'm, you, comma, here. Would,
colon, the volunteer biennial.
Colon, wow. The volunteer biennial.
How informative.
Would
you're welcome.
Essentially demand people come to the show. They would have to, like, they would see a directive and be like, I guess I must attend.
You,
so.
Here, now.
Yes.
Done.
Oh.
All right, Shelby, well,
good
luck with that.
Yeah. You've given me some good choices.
Hopefully
guys.
You won't lose any more sleep over it. with the wonderful platinum level names we've given you. I think that's a wrap, guys, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's a wrap.
Done.